Wisconsin, a man was trapped. He was spent 2 hours waist deep in chocolate in a vat he fell into. Rescuers had to unplug the vat and get him out. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to Calling for Truth this afternoon. We're glad that you've done so. Now, typically on Friday, it's Q&A Friday. However, today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We have a special guest, Dr. Randy Stinson. He is the executive director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And we're going to be talking with him about an article that he's written and some other issues related to men in particular and cultivating biblical manhood. And we may even talk a little bit about the feminization of men in our culture. And we're going to be going to him in just a moment. But you know, Kevin, in 1 Kings chapter 2, just before King David dies, he says to his son Solomon, "I go the way of all the earth." He's talking about the fact that he's getting ready to die. And then he says this, "Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man."
Amen.
So that's what we're talking about today.
Yes, that's right. Our discussion will be founded in that passage there, found in 1 Kings chapter 2 with David. Now, we got to remember, and I always remind our congregation of this whenever we talk about David, this was the one that was called the man after God's own heart.
That's right.
And so it behooves us as believers to study the life of David. And here is David's final words to his son. I mean, what a tremendous passage of Scripture. Here is his, as he's passing off the scene, he's got these instructions for his son. And so all of our conversation today will be built around this conversation that David has with his son Solomon just before David goes on home to be with the Lord. And so I think it adds even extra emphasis and importance and value to this passage as we see what David will say to his son.
Well, I think so. And Dr. Randy Stinson says this, that most definitions and descriptions of biblical Christian manhood tend to major on the Christian and minor on the manhood. So let's see what he's got to say about that. Not only is he the executive director of the Biblical Council or the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, he's also a professor at Southern Seminary. We appreciate that so much. Dr. Stinson, you're on the line. Welcome into the program.
Well, thanks. I'm honored to be here.
Well, it's our joy. It's our pleasure. You make this statement about most descriptions majoring on the Christian and minoring on the manhood. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, when people are talking about what does it mean to be a biblical man, they'll end up talking about just things that everybody's supposed to do. Manifest the fruit of the Spirit, obey the Ten Commandments, have, you know, godly character. And, you know, what I want to say to that is, well, that's great, but are there specific ways, when we say, you know, are there differences between biblical men and biblical women? Because most of those things that I just mentioned are things that biblical men and biblical women are all supposed to do. But are there certain things that, certain ways that men are going to live out the Christian life that will be different than a woman might live out the Christian life? And that's really where we get to the heart of the actual manhood part and the actual womanhood part. Are there ways in which God has called men and women to, in some ways, do the Christian life the same, the Ten Commandments, fruit of the Spirit, but also live it maybe, I would say, in a different context and in different ways based on their gender?
Well, I think we want to get to that context and how we live this out, obviously, and we've already mentioned the 1 Kings passage that you mentioned in your article, but you talk about three key categories that relate more specifically to men.
Yeah, you know, in the Bible, to be honest, in the Bible, when there's specific instructions given to men, most often it is in the context of family, marriage and family, of being a husband, being a father.
Mm-hmm.
And in those contexts, there are these three categories of leading, providing, and protecting. Well, that's what we see men doing in the Old and New Testament. That's what we see God affirming in the Old and New Testament, the leadership role, the provision role, and the protection role. And, of course, you know, my question for several years has been, if that is, or rather since that is what God wants men to do, then are there ways that it can be cultivated? And are there ways that are there things God is going to bring into a man's life that will actually help cultivate these characteristics and these inclinations that I think are there by God's design and are there inherently built within the man?
Mm. And in that discussion or that explanation of what you're saying there with leading, providing, and protecting, you build in an article that you wrote, you build your argumentation for that proof of leading, providing, and protecting out of the end of David's life in 1 Kings chapter 2. Now, you're saying there that not only was he given instruction like a father would to a son, I guess, but even more so than that, we see a pattern develop here for how husbands and fathers and men in general should be living out the Christian life. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I kind of used that passage in 1 Kings to sort of be an example, actually, of one passage that isn't really centered on fatherhood or being a husband. He's just, you know, it seems apparent to me as you read that passage, you know, David says, show yourself a man, you know, mm-hmm. do what men do. And I don't think that was the first time they've ever had that discussion, although we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there's already something defined there. There's already something going on that David knew that Solomon would understand, that there are just some things that men do. So go mm-hmm. do, show yourself a man, prove yourself a man, do what men do. And, you know, in this passage, I can imagine it would be very different. I mean, there are specific instructions that David, you know, is going to give Solomon. You're going to have to go kill somebody. You're going to have to protect somebody. You're going to, you know, you're going to have to make judgments between people. And I just don't see him giving that same kind of instruction to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it seems like this is a specific father-son manhood kind of a talk that does give us a hint into at least what David viewed as sort of the some of the responsibilities of men, and it seems to me that to agree with other passages and other places in Scripture where there are other conditions and other things going on where God seems to also be affirming this same type of role for men.
Yeah, I can't remember whether or not it's in this context or a little bit later in the article, but you give another illustration. You talk about the husband and wife, for example, and they're asleep. It's late at night, and there's a noise outside. Typically, you know, the husband doesn't turn to the wife and say, "Honey, could you go check and see what's going on out there?" In fact,
so there's some things that we just intuitively know are not right. You know, if there's a crisis, and I was in an airport one time, and there was a big crisis, alarms are going off, and I always make the joke, you know, I found an elderly woman and I ran over to her and told her, you know, "I'm scared, will you hold me?" You know, and then I tell people I didn't really do that, because everybody knows that there's nothing right about a 30-something man going to an elderly woman and saying, "I'm scared, will you hold me?" We are intuitively know that there are certain things that men should do and certain things that God requires of men that generally do fall in those categories of leading, providing, and protecting. And frankly, our culture is telling us quite the opposite. And in a lot of times, a lot of places, the church is being impacted by the culture and is telling us the opposite. The culture is telling us men need to be softer, gentler, kinder, more passive, more like women. And that is certainly not what David tells Solomon here, for sure.
Yeah, I think in general, you know, you point out in the article, he says to Solomon, you know, be strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, obey God. And then that's when you begin to flesh that out. Well, how is it that we are to be strong and obey God? How do we live it out in that context? So looks like we've got a lot to talk about. Dr. Stinson, if you don't mind, we've got to go to a break.
I understand.
And when we come back, we'll pick up the discussion there. And if you want to talk more about what's going on in the culture, that would be fine as well. And we'll say to the listeners, give us a call at 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Dr. Randy Stinson, Executive Director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, is our special guest today. Kevin, he's here. I'm here. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. 3 minutes. You're listening to Calling for Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Imagine if one of the discs in your spine is swollen and it applies pressure on the adjacent nerve. That right there can give you the numbness in the hand, can give you the numbness in the toes. It can give you problems with impotence, infertility. It can give you problems with dizziness, vertigo, all depending on which nerve fibers are being affected.
Say goodbye to pain and live well with Dr. Manuel Izquierdo. Wednesdays at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Hello, this is Karen Hoover of Southern Stone, located on Dry Pocket Road in Greer. We started business in 1994 as the first manufactured stone installer in upstate South Carolina. We specialize in stone masonry for custom residential and commercial projects. Together, we bring over 55 years of experience to help you achieve the look you want. Call Southern Stone for a free estimate at 879-3008 or check out the Idea Gallery at southernstoneinc.com.
If you have the desire to help a child that is struggling in school, STRIDES, a Christian nonprofit tutoring program, needs volunteers now to commit to 2 late afternoons a week to help needy children in our neighborhoods. Call Dr. Everett at 246-9898 or go to our website, stridestutor.org. Our children are failing and you can be the answer. Please call 246-9898.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Well, folks, we live in a culture where not only are gender roles being confused, but the line between the genders itself is being confused and blurred by so many. We've got so much out there with regard to feminism and homosexuality and the role of men and women in our culture, the role of men and women in the church, the role of men and women in the home. We could go on and on and on. We need help to deal biblically with gender issues. And there's an organization out there. There are others, but there's an organization out there helping the church deal biblically with gender issues, and it's the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, and Dr. Randy Stinson is the executive director, and he's our special guest on Calling for Truth today. Dr. Stinson, we just wanted to point out that that's why you folk exist in terms of this particular organization, to help the church deal biblically with those gender issues.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to keep pointing people back to Scripture and emphasizing the fact that God really has said quite a bit about these matters and about what his expectations are for men and women. In many ways, they're very different. And so, yeah, we recognize that the culture is going in a different direction. We recognize that the church is in a crisis because they're being impacted by our culture in these ways. Almost everywhere you turn, television, radio, movies, music, these are all having an impact on how we understand what manhood is and what womanhood is, mm-hmm. and the blurring of those distinctions, like you mentioned, is causing a lot of confusion in the church and a lot of problems in our marriages and a lot of problems in just the health of our way we disciple and make disciples in the local church.
Dr. Stinson, before we drill down into the article there and talk about that first aspect of the character of manhood, I wanted to ask you a quick question on, you deal with a number of different issues related to gender for the church, but is and that includes many things. Today we're talking about manhood, but I think you also speak to womanhood as well, and also to how the Christian should respond to the homosexual agenda and everything that's taking place in society today. Is there one element that is kind of that whole spectrum there that has kind of come to the forefront that you find is more so your target audience than another? Like, is manhood where it's at, or one of these other areas?
Yeah, that's a good question. My argument on one hand would be manhood is where it's at, because if you can reach men and encourage them and train them and teach them how to lead, then everything else will follow. If you mm-hmm. teach a man to lead, to submit himself to the authority of the Word of God, then he's going to bring others with him. He's going to bring mm-hmm. his family with him. He's going to bring his children with him. And so as far as a target, that would be it. And I think more specifically, pastors and leaders mm-hmm. in local churches, mm-hmm. We're encouraging them to embrace these principles of biblical manhood and womanhood and create a climate in their church where these things are lived out because of the influence that they have over the people in their churches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not to neglect the need for clarity on biblical womanhood and raising masculine sons and feminine daughters, many of the other topics we discussed. But, you know, in a lot of ways this rises and falls on the leadership. And if we can encourage men to lead, then we'll have some real change taking place.
Well, it goes right back to what you were saying a moment ago, leading, providing, protecting, and so how do we live that out? And you list nine characteristics that need to be inculcated into the thinking of biblical men with regard to their families in particular, or what it is that they can do and be about. And the first one is vision, and maybe we could talk about that for just a minute.
Sure. I mean, this is sort of the beginning of, you know, my man sits down with his wife and just, I mean, it's a great question. It's a necessary question. Where are we going with this thing? I mean, where are we going to go? What kind of family do we want? And what kind of characteristics do we want our family to have? And what types of things do we want to make sure that when our kids leave that they're, this is what they understand about family and marriage, and how are we going to prepare them best to live outside of this home? And so that's just what vision is. It's just where are we going to go with this thing? What do we want this thing to look like in 20 years? And those nine things you're talking about are just areas where I think men need to initiate. This mm-hmm. isn't a Lone Ranger deal. A husband needs to initiate these kinds of conversations with his wife. If his children are old enough, maybe involve them in some of this. But a man and his wife need to agree together. Here's what we want this thing, you know, here's what we want this thing to look like.
Mm.
One of the things that I deal with, Dr. Stinson, really two things. Number one, a lot of the questions that I get is, okay, I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader. What do I do? How do I go about it? Give me some practical help. And that's where you're going with these nine items. But the other issue a lot of the time is just what you alluded to, and that is, you know, here's a man, and he feels like he's the spiritual leader. And sometimes I think that they can carry that a little too far, and they really don't want input from their wives, or they don't feel like it's a biblical thing, or they don't want input from their children, and they have to make all of the decisions. And I have to tell folk, you know, look, God has given you a wife to compliment you and to help you, and there are certain things, you know, when it comes right down to it, you're going to have to make that decision. But leadership here, you're talking about the man simply initiating and leading us into this discussion, but it's certainly appropriate to get the family's input ultimately, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I agree with everything you said. I mean, your wife is a gift, and you are to love her, you are to respect her. you're to deal with her in an understanding way, as the New Testament says. And so, you know, it's not an abdication of leadership to involve others and get the wisdom of others. We would all be worse off if we didn't, you know, enlist some others, you know, in our lives to give us wise counsel. And God has placed the husband and wife there in a one flesh relationship, and so it's a natural thing. And it's a godly thing to involve your wife. And you're right. My point here is, you know, a lot of guys will ask me, where do I start? And I say start and sit down with your wife and say, where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? Let's get a plan. Let's talk about where we want this thing to end up. And that's just, you know, the first step of good leadership. Where do we want to go?
Oh, it's obvious the importance of that. I remember the old adage that says if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time.
Right.
You know, so you got to start with where are we going. But some folks have started, you know, with some great grandiose plans, almost like an exercise program at the beginning of the year or read through your Bible program in January. And then by the time they hit Leviticus, they peter out and don't go very far. Let's go to the second thing. Okay, it's one thing to sit down and say, okay, this is where we're going, but what about direction? How do we get there?
Yeah, I mean, this is the second step, at least in my estimation, because like you said, you can have a big plan. I mean, in fact, who doesn't want great kids? You know, we can say all day long, I want great kids and I want a happy home. Fine, that's a good vision, but if you don't say, well, here's some things we're going to do on a regular basis to try to have great kids, to try to have a home that's characterized by forgiveness or by joy and happiness. And there are certain things we're going to do. You know, I'm going to have a date night with my wife once a week, and I'm going to, you know, do certain things with my kids. And again, you know, we can have these grandiose plans, and this gets back to the last part of the nine, and I know we'll deal with those later, but you know, you're going to evaluate. You're going to sit down. You don't just do this one time. You're going to sit down with your wife, and you're going to say, all right, we've been doing this for a month. How are we doing? And she might say, well, we said we were going to have a weekly date night, and we haven't had one in a month. And the husband's going to have to make some corrections there. But we still need to make the steps. How are we going to get to where we say we're going to go?
Yeah, I think you make a great point. One of the things that my dad did with me, he took me on these fishing trips on a regular basis. It might have just been once a year, but it was at the coast. And it's one of those things that I look back and I just say, thank you, Lord, what an awesome time I had with my dad. And I've been meaning to take my son, he's 16 years old now, Kevin, I've been meaning to take him on one of those fishing trips for so long, and quite frankly, it's been about 5 or 6 years. I don't want all those to say, oh, you are a terrible dad. We do some other things. But I haven't done it, and it's primarily because I haven't planned it, so that is so practical.
It is.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I do something similar. I have younger boys, but, you know, my thing is I wanted them to learn some of the things I learned growing up, and one of them was to hunt. And so we have a standing appointment the week before Thanksgiving. We go on an annual hunting trip in South Georgia, and you know, it's on the calendar, and you know, I'll fight you if you want to change it. But you're right; those are the kind of things that we've got to put in the plan.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to map it out. And you're right; our lives get busy, and things get hectic, and before we know it, our vision has died out because we didn't really put some plans in place to accomplish it.
I find that not only in our homes but in our churches as well, sometimes we make these kind of ambiguous goals, you know, that we don't really have these practical steps. I came out of a business environment and into pastoring the church, and so I remember all these little adages that we used in business world, but I remember this one. We said you can't manage what you can't measure. And so if there isn't a measurable, demonstrable way of figuring out, you know, hey, we're going to do this on this date at this time, it very seldom does it anything really ever get accomplished. You just have these philosophical views of what you'd like to do, but it never actually gets done.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why I tell most men really do, because of the virtue of all the different kinds of work that they do, most men do this on a regular basis in their jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just asking them to sort of think about what they do. Even a man who may not be leading an organization or anything like that, even the guy that goes maybe works on an assembly line, I mean, he still has to wake up and say, okay, I've got 40 items to assemble today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to get there this such and such a time. I'm going to have to do this many per hour, and I'm going to have to do this much per minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to, you know, sharpen my blades there. And, you know, the average man, even no matter what job he has, still has to plan and organize and set a goal for the day and how he's going to meet that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very similar to what I'm suggesting to do in a family, just with family-type things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Stinson, even talking about planning to take a break, we're going to take a break right now.
That's right.
And we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Listen, you can get more information about Dr. Stinson and the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood at their website. It's www.cbmw.org. We'll give that to you another time or two before the program is out. You're listening to Calling for Truth. Back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Listen weekday mornings to Christian Worldview Today.
Do they play contemporary music?
Yes, sir, they do. They've got guitars and drums and everything in that music, Alan. And they're going to praise Jesus in a style. And you know what? And it's just nonsense to say that they're not doing God's work. It's just plain, pure nonsense. I can't believe it.
Tune in to Christian Worldview Today with Dr. Tony Beam. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Are you tired of sellout Republicans like Bob Inglis? He hurt you when he voted for CAFTA, the United Nations, and higher gas prices by supporting left-wing environmentalist policies. He also voted to fund abortion by giving nearly $60 million to Planned Parenthood. Let's bring Bob home and regain integrity. We don't need a liberal lawyer in Washington. Send a financial planner and PhD professor instead. Don't waste your vote on a pragmatist. Vote Coben for Congress on November 7th.
Paid for by Coben for Congress.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church, located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer, and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, Dr. Randy Stinson says this: you may want your sons to learn how to play baseball. That's your vision. But if you never throw a ball with them, the direction, they will not learn. And that's true. We've got to have vision for our families. We've got to have vision if we're men. But we've got to have direction as well. Where are we going, but how are we going to get there? We're talking about some practical dynamics here of living out this instruction, for example, that King David gave Solomon on his deathbed. He said, be strong, obey God, be a man. Well, how is it that we Christian men are to be not only Christian, but men in this feminized culture in which we find ourselves? Dr. Stinson is the executive director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, helping the church deal biblically with gender issues. That's their goal. Here's their website. It's cbmw.org. One more time, cbmw.org. Obviously, that stands for Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And Dr. Stinson, we're back in. And again, we appreciate you being on the broadcast today.
My honor.
Dr. Stinson, I want to move through the discussion a little bit further. The first two points were great about vision and direction, but what about instruction? You know, we hear that so often in the book of the Proverbs, and about, you know, we can't just relegate this off every time and say, hey, go ask your mother about these things. We have to actually instruct our children about what is right. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, you have Deuteronomy 6 that's written to fathers. You have a lot of Proverbs, as you mentioned, you know, they're telling, you know, son, listen to the instruction of your father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the implication is there is that the father is going to be the leader, even in the area of instruction. It certainly doesn't mean that my wife doesn't give instruction. I mean, I'm here on the phone and I work all day.
Mm-hmm.
She's at home with the children, and so there's a lot of instruction going on. But I'm still overseeing that, and I can't just always say go ask your mom or find out from your mother. I'm leading in the area of instruction, and it's part of leadership. Let me show you how to do this. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm not. You're not out there alone. I'm with you on this. I'm not just telling you the direction. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. I'm going to say to you, let me show you how to do this. I'm a fellow believer in Christ, and I'm going to show you how to ask forgiveness. I'm going to show you how to make a mistake. I'm going to show you how to lead somebody to Christ. I'm going to show you how to catch a fish and shoot a deer and make up when you've messed up and all sorts of things. And so this is, again, it's part of leadership. I have to initiate in this area because if not, I've failed in that area.
Well, I like the advice you give, too, not only in those types of things or situations, but you say that you rehearse dozens of possible scenarios with your children, and you ask questions like, what happens if someone says this to you? What will you do?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's good conversation, you know, for the real world.
Sure. And when I'm doing that, I'm saying, here's what I think you ought to do if this happens. I mean, because, you know, you and I, most men know what the possible scenarios boys are going to get into in the at the baseball park, and what your daughters might get into at the ballet studio, and the kids say things and do things to each other. And I'm just saying, hey, what would you do? And what happens is we talk about a solution. They may go implement the solution I suggested and come home, and it was a flop. Well, they don't have to come home and worry that I'm going to be upset because I was the one that suggested that in the first place. And so we'll go back to the drawing board and say, all right, well, let's try this next time. But either way, they're learning, and we're reinforcing the fact that they should be able to come to their fathers their whole life, frankly, but they should be able to come to their fathers for wise counsel and instruction. And this is what we're trying to do in our home.
Mm. That instruction is certainly an important one. We did something, of course, similar to that with our children as well, and that would be when we saw something that was taking place negatively or positively, you know, we would talk about that with our children. I just remember driving in downtown areas in New York and seeing drunkards on the side of the road, and I would mention that to my children and say, you know, that man, you know, he didn't wake up one day and then decide, hey, I think I'll be a drunkard today, and try to engage them in some conversation about how this led to this in his life. What are some of the ways that this could come about in a person's life, and try to engage them in the conversation. And so instruction, you're right, is so important. But let me go one step further. Isn't it quite another thing to not just be saying to them, you know, here's what you should be doing, but what about, you know, watch me. I'm actually going to have this active in my life. Imitate me, if you will, as I'm going through life. And this may be the best lesson that you can learn even beyond what I'm saying to you verbally.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the heart of leadership. Otherwise, it's hypocrisy, right? I mean, we're saying here, you know, the old, you know, how some people, dads in particular, might tell their children, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
Mm.
Well, that's just, they're going to learn from that, and they're learning hypocrisy.
Mm.
And so we have to, you know, part of leading is not only saying it, but doing what you're saying. And sometimes I don't do what I say. Sometimes I'll say things that I've told the kids you're not supposed to say, and when I do that, then I also am telling them, watch me. I'm going to show you how to you know, fix the mess here, and I'm going to apologize to you. So either way, you're still modeling for them how to live as a fallen person, redeemed in Christ, one who still struggles with sin, I'm still saying, watch me. Keep your eyes on me. I'm going to show you how to do this thing because, by the way, you're going to sin too, and you're going to say the wrong thing too, and I'm going to show you even in my failure how to walk this Christian life and try to honor God with what we're doing.
I think it's an important point because perhaps we've all had others and other men in particular say to us, for example, you know, don't show weakness in an apology or seeking forgiveness, especially a father to a child might be a sign of weakness, but quite the contrary, if we're going to be biblical men, biblical, absolutely, men, that's what we're focusing on today, but if I've sinned against my children or if I've engaged in some sort of, you know, hypocritical error or sin, I pull my children together and I say, guys, look, here's what I did. Here's what I said to you. And I want you to know I was wrong and it grieves my heart that I sinned against you and that I sinned against the Lord. Will you please forgive me? And I think not only are you demonstrating what it is to be a biblical man, but that's not weakness, that's strength, because you're saying, yes, I need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But look, I'm willing to admit when I've messed up, and this is the example that I'm trying to set for you. We're all going to mess up, as you've said, and so here's the way, walk ye in it. And I think that the kids have more respect for someone who's going to admit their faults rather than try to brush them over, don't you?
There's no doubt. It fosters respect. It fosters an attitude of endearment toward the Lord, who is obviously working in their father's life. And to do the opposite, to not apologize, there is no question after what I've seen, and I'm sure you'd agree, if to not to apologize to one's children when there's a clear wrong, it fosters bitterness and resentment in the heart of a child toward their father, and sometimes that lasts for years and years.
Dr. Simpson, what about the area of inspiration? Of course, I'm not talking about the inspiration like with the scriptures. I'm talking more about keeping the morale up of everybody. We see a great example of that in the life of Nehemiah, the great leadership example in the scriptures. Half of the work is done and the people are discouraged. And I think there's a verse there that says, and there was much rubbish. So, you know, they could see half of the project was getting done. How do we do that in the life of our families and those that we're leading? You know, is that part of our responsibility as well?
It is. It is the leader's responsibility to maintain the morale of the group that he's leading. And in this case, we're talking about a father in the home. A father needs to regularly tell his family, this is great. This is a great family. In fact, if you went to my home tonight and said, just sat at the table and said, this is a great, and then didn't fill in the blank and let the kids fill in the blank, they would all in unison say family, because I say it all the time. And the reason is they need to know that I think this is great. I tell them all the time. I travel around. I go to a lot of places. I've seen a lot of families, and I want you to know I think this is a great one because they need, if they're not going to hear it from other people, and they need to know they're a part of something and that the leader thinks that the thing that they're a part of is a great thing. And so it offers encouragement. It makes them feel good about what we're doing and where we're headed. And again, you know, this is just kind of basic leadership. If you're leading something and you come in and you're telling them, I don't know if we're going to make it, this thing isn't going right, I don't know how we're going to do it, I mean, before you know it, nobody thinks this thing's good.
You know,
and, it's the father's responsibility to help maintain morale in the home.
There was just an article in the Boston Globe, we talked about it about a week ago on the broadcast, where they interviewed a number of teens. I think this particular one was black teens that they were talking about. And they asked the one teen, what was the first word that came to his mind when he thought of marriage? And he said, the first word that comes to my mind is divorce. And then he said that they had decided that they didn't even want to be married because they had talked to so many married people that had told them, you know, don't ever do this, it's not worth it. And just so pessimistic about the whole area of marriage. And what a refreshing change here to hear you say that, hey, we've got to be telling our children, you know, this is God's design. This is a good thing. This is the best, you know, the complementarian approach here with the husband and the wife. And, of course, showing our spouses that we love and appreciate them. And this will get a tremendous message across. In that same vein, we only have about another 2 minutes or so, but talk about affirmation really quickly, if you would.
Well, this is what I argue is more the individual aspect of encouragement and inspiration is for the whole group. Affirmation, you still got to go to the individual. You got to go to your daughter and say, man, you're doing great. I think you're doing great. especially men to their wives. I get accolades at work and other places, and many times our wives don't get as much encouragement as they should, and it's the husband's responsibility to go home and say, hey, honey, you're doing great. You're a great wife. You're a great mom. You keep this house great. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate you. And this is the role of the leader, to initiate in these areas. Each individual needs to hear from the leader, you're doing great. Not just we're all doing great, but you specifically are doing a great job.
I think that's great counsel. That's a good place to break it just as we go into the last break, Dr. Stinson. Again, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. And, folks, you still have time to join the conversation at 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll have about 12, 13 minutes maybe when we get back, so give us a call. Let me give you our website. It's callingfortruth.org. We will list Dr. Stinson's website, and you can listen to this program again. But stay tuned for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Honey, can I ask your opinion real quick?
Sure, what's up?
Do these jeans make me look fat?
Well, Hi, I'm Woodrow Kroll. You know, some questions are nearly impossible to answer. So where do you turn for answers? Well, join me each weekday as we turn back to the Bible for real answers to life's questions.
Back to the Bible, weekday mornings at 6:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Are you captive to the sin of pornography, gluttony, gambling, or homosexuality? Setting Captives Free exists to offer Christ-centered hope and freedom to those in the grips of sin through accountability to Bible-based truth, resulting in the free enjoyment of life in and for the glory of God. Be set free by the truth of God's Word through daily Bible study and accountability. Log on to settingcaptivesfree.com today and begin your journey to freedom in Christ.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary is now accepting applications for the fall 2006 semester. Since 1987, Greenville Seminary has been committed to training passionate preachers of the gospel in the historic Reformed faith. Located in Taylor, South Carolina, Greenville Seminary offers the Master of Divinity degree and specialized Master of Arts degrees. For more information, go to www.gpts.edu.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Let me just mention this. I know that most of you are listening to us via the radio, but you can go to sermonaudio.com. I want to give those folks a plug because they webcast our program every day. That's sermonaudio.com. And, of course, I mentioned our website, callingfortruth.org. We download our programs every day. So if you want to hear us again for whatever the reason, I can't imagine why. No. We got a lot of good information, and we got a lot of good guests, and I think it's very helpful. That's why you can listen to us again, and you can recommend our broadcast to your friends, and especially the broadcast today, because Dr. Randy Stinson has been talking about biblical manhood. What does it mean to be a Christian and a man in today's culture? And let me just give you his website one more time. It's CBMW. That's Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, CBMW.org. We'll put it on our website so that you can access that. But Dr. Stinson, again, thanks for being on the broadcast. And we've been talking about these characteristics that biblical men ought to have in terms of living out their manhood in this culture. We've talked about vision and direction and instruction and imitation, inspiration and affirmation. You've got this article. We'll put that on our website as well. But you mentioned earlier we need to evaluate our progress along the way, don't we?
Yeah, that's for sure. And that is the hardest one to do. You know, I always tell men, you know, there's a reason why there are a lot of instructions in the New Testament to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because we tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And men in particular, I think, tend to overestimate themselves and believe things are better than they really are a lot of times, or just ignore. And we have to ask the hard question, are we doing what we said we were going to do? How are things going? We sit down, my wife and I, on a regular basis, usually on a date night, but sometimes just in the evening after the kids have gone to bed, and just say, all right, you know, how are things going? Are there any patterns in the children's lives that we need to deal with? Is there anything that we, you know, how are we doing in our marriage? Are we going where we said we were going to go and doing what we said we were going to do? And these are just the hard questions. But frankly, the person who's doing this the most really is the one that's leading. And so men need to be careful not to abdicate their responsibility and not to be passive in this area and not to put this extra added burden on their wives. A man needs to shoulder this burden primarily, and that is to ask this question, are we really doing what we said we were going to do?
I think that's so important, but I also agree with you about it being so difficult. I think we have this tendency to believe our own press.
Yeah.
We think, boy, I am really something wonderful here, and look at how this is all working out well. And when somebody does come, like you say, you kind of said, is there an issue with the children, some patterns that we're seeing that we need to be addressed? I would think that would be very often there'd be some area that is lacking that needs help. It's one thing to evaluate it, but it's quite a difference then to put together a plan again to say, okay, this is what we're going to do to correct it. We do see a negative pattern developing here, but here again are some measurable steps that we can put in place that we can, that we think will correct this problem, get on the same page with that, and then start initiating this process. Is that the best way to fix the evaluation?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, evaluation without correction is really nothing.
Yeah, right.
Just identified a problem and went on, kind of like James says, some people come to the Word of God and look at this like looking in a mirror and walking away the same way you came. I mean, it just, it's not, so the evaluation is important, but then what you need to do is say, all right, here's what we're going to do to fix it. I mean, we don't want this to keep happening this way. Let's fix it. And I might add, I mean, the evaluation process isn't always negative. My wife and I have a wonderful relationship, and it's not always, hey, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. A lot of times it's, hey, this is going great, you know, and we've got a few little things to work on, but we're going in a good direction. And so, but you're right. I mean, we've got to make the corrections whenever one is warranted, and that, again, is, you know, part of being the leader.
Yeah, and essentially that's what we've been talking about. All of these things sort of fall into that leadership category. But, again, you mentioned providing and protecting. And the last dynamic in this this practical lifestyle, you do talk about provision and protection. And you're saying to your wife and your kids, obviously under the providential hand of God, but you're saying, I will protect you.
Yeah, and as much as it depends on me and under the, like you said, under the providence and grace and mercy of God, I'm going to take care of you. And what I'm communicating to my children is, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving your mother. I'm not going to move down the street and have my own separate house. I'm going to honor your mother. I'm going to take care of you. If things happen and I lose my job, then I'm going to work hard and we're going to come up with plan B, but I'm going to be here and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to do everything I can. And I mentioned in the article, and I know you guys know this, I'm not saying you communicate to your kids nothing bad will ever happen to this family, because, you know, things happen. People lose their jobs. People get hit by cars. People get cancer and other things that no father can protect against. But children know how to separate those things, and children know the difference between a dad who just walks out and leaves them and a dad who gets hit by a drunk driver or something, or gets shot in a war and killed in a war or some other tragic thing. And so I'm just saying, you know, the other alternative is to wake up every day and say, I don't know what's going to happen and everything's out of my hands. Well, we're trusting in the Lord. and we're depending on the Lord. And I just want you to know, as long as I'm here, I'm giving everything I got to you guys.
I think that sense of security is so important for the children and the stability of the home. I heard a story many years ago about orphans in the Second World War that were having trouble sleeping through the night because they were so concerned about what tomorrow would hold.
Mm.
And one of the methods that they used in order to help them to sleep through the night was to give them a piece of bread that they held in their hands, and the thinking was at least they knew where the next meal was coming from the following day, and it worked to give them some sense of security. So you can imagine if you extrapolate that out to everything that the Father is bringing to the situation on, you know, providing for them and protecting them and all of these areas leading them, you know, you can see what a great source of comfort, again, under the providence of God, that would be in the life of the children.
Sure, and I think I'm always shocked at how often my kids are asking themselves questions. They have a lot of their friends have parents who are divorced and other things, and it's important for me to reinforce with them, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere.
Mm. I wonder, Dr. Stinson, we've got about 4 minutes maybe at the most, if we could briefly skim over the six elements involved in the cultivation of manhood, and then wrap up with a word about the Christ-likeness of manhood. I'm going out of order in a sense, but I just want to hit those elements. I mean, you start off by saying, look, if you want to cultivate manhood in your life, first of all, do the hardest thing first.
Yeah, I think and all of those can be encompassed by the idea of just rejecting passivity. When we have a task or a challenge in our lives, I say in the article, do the hard task first, make the hard phone call first. When there's a challenge, run to the challenge, don't run away from the challenge. Do your work now, don't procrastinate, keep your domain in order. I mean, keep your garage in order, your desk, your car. I mean, these are all, when these things are out of order, it's evidence that your domain is exercising dominion over you, and God has called us to exercise dominion over our surroundings. And the heart of it is to reject passivity, to not let things overrun you. You are keeping your desk in order. You are making the hard call first. You're not allowing all these things to overtake you. And in the middle of all of this, you know, I mentioned that there's a Christ-likeness in manhood. And of manhood, and we see in Solomon, what did Solomon do? Solomon failed miserably at all the instructions that David gave him. David failed. And all the failures of the kings in the Old Testament point us to the true King of Kings in reminding us that there's only one true king, and it should point us and remind us that we all need a Savior. And there's a Christ-likeness to manhood in the sense that Christ did show compassion when he needed to show it. He did chase the money changers out of the temple and when he needed to demonstrate authority. He did set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. And all of these things, he's demonstrating perseverance, godliness, resistance to sin, overcoming sin, you know, rebuking those who needed to be rebuked. And he's not passive. He's doing what he needs to do in all of these situations. And it points us to our need for him in all of this.
Yeah, amen. Well, we're under a minute now, Dr. Stinson. First off, thank you for being with us, and we're going to put a link on our website to this article. I've also got a big book in my study, and it's got the Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood on the front. A lot of contributors there. That's your book, I guess.
That is not mine personally, but it is the book of our organization.
Yeah.
It's called Recovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. In fact, it's just been reprinted by Crossway Books, and that is still sort of the big overall exegetical biblical arguments for what we're trying to do with this ministry.
Yeah, I've referred to it many, many times. I just want to thank you folk for it and recommend it. And anyway, we'll direct them to your website, cbmw.org. That's Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, cbmw.org. Dr. Randy Stinson, the executive director, and by the way, appreciate all the work you guys are doing out at Southern Seminary.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure to be on, and I appreciate the work you guys are doing, too.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, Kevin, that puts a wrap on another week, and we're out of time, so we'll just say to our listeners on Monday, we'll be back. Tune in to Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those